The emphasis this week was on the book in Facebook. Company founder and Harvard dropout Mark Zuckerberg announced intentions to share his reading list with Facebook friends and others. His goal is to read a book a month. Welcome to Copyright Clearance and his podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The new Book of the Month Club from the social media genius drew inevitable comparison with a similar endeavor from another self-made billionaire. Whether Mark can measure up to Oprah, though, only time and Andrew Albanese can tell. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew Albanese.
Greetings, Chris, and Happy New Year.
Well, indeed, Happy New Year. Happy 2015 to you, Andrew Albanese, senior writer there at Publishers Weekly, and we welcome you back for our weekly podcast and a look at the news in the book world. And I suppose before we get into the book world, as you report on it at PW, we do have to take a moment to note a very sad bit of news that came to us earlier this week from Paris, of course, where the attack on the Charlie Hebdo offices killed 12, and that news has really hit the publishing world hard.
Yeah, it really has. And of course, our hearts go out to Paris, where gunmen murdered 12 members of Charlie Hebdo. But, you know, I don't think there's much more we can really say. I know you and I are both outraged by what we see as a senseless killing, and as well as saddened. And it's a terrible, terrible way to ring in 2015. But, you know, as you say, this latest attack did hit the publishing industry around the world particularly hard, because it was directed at the staff of a publication that was apparently targeted for publishing satirical cartoons. And you know, a number of statements have been issued from various publishers. You can see them on Publishers Weekly's website today. Citing that this, you know, was not only an attack on the city of Paris, but on free speech as well. And as we begin 2015, I think the events in Paris remind us a little bit that our work in this industry is very important. You know, it's dangerous even at times. And as you know, the American Library Association, one of the organizations that released a statement, noted in its release, these attacks are an attack on the values of civic engagement, which encourages people to read and to discuss their ideas and views without fear. So while we turn our attention back to the bickering about prices and about Amazon and, you know, whether print and digital or other mundane issues that are, you know, usually the stuff of the book world, you know, from Paris, we have this horrible, stark reminder of the greater good that we all fight for and that we're all involved in here with the publishing industry. So, you know, as they say in France, you know, je suis Charlie. I know you feel the same. We are all Charlie today.
Indeed. Nous sommes tous Charlie, as they would have said. And you know, it really is important to point out just what kinds of people they killed. You know, long before I ever set foot on French soil, I fell in love with the French way of life, Andrew. Through the novels I read and the films I watched, I found some kind of kinship in that love of life that the French people seem to exhibit so much. They love food, they love art, they love disputation. And I sought out such people whenever I worked there and in Brussels as the editors and the cartoonists and the journalists of Charlie Hebdo. They were my subjects, and they became my colleagues and my friends. And when those men walked into that office and assassinated a dozen men and women, they didn't love life. They loved death. They abhor somehow enjoyment and pleasure and love and fun, and they seem offended and hurt when you enjoy your life, probably because they not only hate you, but they hate themselves. It's a really terrible psychology, and we can only hope that the world is rid of it as soon as possible.
Agreed. And, you know, it's with heavy hearts that we start 2015.
Well, indeed. So on to the world of business, book business anyway. We have an offer for the holidays and a few things to catch up on and to sort of look forward to. We have the first big gathering of the book world next week in New York City, the Digital Book World Conference, organized by Mike Shatskin, sometimes guest here on the Beyond the Book podcast, and some other interesting year-end trends that you're going to note.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Digital Book World kicks off next week here in New York, and that's the first major gathering of publishers for 2015. And we'll have some coverage of that event, which you can check out on the PW website. And I'm sure you can expect a lot of discussion of the same kind of topics that we discuss here on this show, week in and week out. And at the end of the month, too, I'll remind you, we have the American Library Association meeting in Chicago, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks. And after that, right after Chicago, I'm heading off to Spain, where I'm sitting in on a meeting of publishing magazine leaders in Barcelona. And I'm sure to have much to report from there, too. So 'tis the season.
Indeed. And, you know, from New York to Chicago to Barcelona, that's quite a bit of hopscotching for you. You're going from cold to colder to, well, hopefully a bit warmer. But let's talk about some of these trends. There were some good news for publishers at the end of 2014. We've got some numbers on book sales at the end of the year. And tell us how that looks.
Yeah, definitely. And in Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly, we're going to run down a few of these key trends and industry numbers, including holiday sales, which were actually pretty decent. You know, overall, there's a lot of good news to report. Most notably, that the sales of print books sold through outlets that report to Nielsen BookScan rose a pretty healthy 2.4% in 2014 over last year, with total units topping 635 million. So, print is back, baby. Or if not, shuffling off to irrelevance, like so many have predicted over the years. You know, obviously, there's still some pretty stiff headwinds that are facing publishers and booksellers in 2015. But the 2014 figures suggest that print books are selling better than they have since the sales of ebooks really exploded back in 2010, and since Borders closed the store in 2011. You know, print sort of bottomed out in 2012. I think it fell down as low as 590 million units compared to the 635 in this year's report. But in the 2 years since, the print units have steadily begun to creep back up. They've risen a combined 7.6% over that two-year period. And I mentioned the holidays. Well, unit gains for 2014 were helped by a robust 22% increase in the week that ended just after Christmas, December 28th, 2014. And here's even some more good news, some shocking news, you might even say. Barnes & Noble even did pretty well over the holidays. Its sales were up a very modest 0.2% through its retail store. But hey, at least that's a positive number, so we'll take it. And what drove that increase? Well, BNN officials say the company benefited from the continued stabilization of physical book sales. So yes, more auguring for the health of print. But they also note that, and pay attention to your listener, that those sales spikes were also noted by the growth in toys and games and gifts. Wow. So, yeah, toys.
Well, you know, bookstores have always done a nice business in things other than books. So I suppose we should be happy that it is helping to keep Barnes & Noble going there. And there has been a potential lift for the book business from an unlikely source, that is Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg is doing his best to sort of take on the mantle of Oprah Winfrey. And he's invited 30 million people to join a book club. What are your thoughts on how that may affect things?
Well, it certainly can't hurt, right? And it was on January 2nd, I think Zuckerberg sent out his announcement that, you know, his first selection, I think it was Moses Names, The End of Power. That book was released in 2013 from Perseus, and it really had not sold a ton. I think just over 5,000 copies in hardcover and paper. You can read more about that on the Publishers Weekly website, of course. But on the day that it was named by Mark Zuckerberg, it quickly shot to number one in all of its subcategories on Amazon. But I'm not sure yet what publishers and authors should expect from Zuckerberg. You know, for one, he's not coordinating his effort with publishers, that much we know. Indeed, the author Moses Names had no idea his book was even selected, though when he found out, he said he was stoked that it was. And yeah, I'll bet he was stoked. I'm sure his publisher was stoked too, but they probably would have wanted to know, maybe do a little more of their own marketing and make some arrangements with a printer or two here to get more of those books out. So I think, you know, if publishers have a little more coordination with Mark Zuckerberg, they'd appreciate the book club a lot more. But still, obviously, can't hurt. And then there's the fact that, you know, you mentioned Oprah, and Zuckerberg, you know, he just ain't Oprah. You know, Oprah's talent, I think, is that her audience really buys in to her, you know, whole live your best life mantra. And that's really what I think drove her book club success, far more than the sheer numbers of Oprah lovers that there are out there, the sheer number of people that she reaches. You know, Zuckerberg just doesn't have that audience that, like, follows him with that Oprah-like devotion, even though Facebook reaches billions of people worldwide. And, you know, and Facebook can be a pretty unwieldy beast, too. All you have to do is read the comments on your wall or on your friends' walls to know how rough it can get on Facebook at times. But we'll see. Zuckerberg said he's going to choose titles with an emphasis on learning about different cultures and beliefs and histories and technologies. And those aren't exactly Oprah-like subjects, but still, I have to believe that every little bit helps. And one note, too, for a company, Facebook, that lives on data, that's not a bad way to glean more data, is it? As a company I like to call Amazon can tell you, there are quite a few things that you can tell about a consumer by following what they read.
Well, indeed, and great last point there, Andrew. Appreciate that analysis on that, and we'll have to watch what books Mark is reading in the coming months. And for 2015, then, what are some of the other trends that you're going to be watching there at PW?
Well, I think obviously ebooks, you know, of course, you know, sales are continuing to sort of flatten out here. But I think the big thing we're going to be watching when it comes to ebooks is what's happening with Amazon and Apple and all these new terms of sale deals. You know, we ended 2014 with deals by Hachette and Simon & Schuster, and that was big news, but I'm going to be really interested in seeing what happens when it's Penguin Random House's turn at bat. Because post-merger, they now control over 50% of the bestseller list. So to me, it sounds like they're in a position to make the most sweet, perhaps the most significant deal of all with Amazon. Though, unfortunately, I doubt we'll get to know the details of that, because these deals, as we've discussed on this show, are painfully confidential.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned the Penguin Random House merger. There was a failed merger last year, and plenty of other rumblings of activity in that direction in 2014. Can we expect more coming ahead?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty active year on the merger front. And, you know, you can go on the PW site now. We have a feature up on the mergers of 2014 and what they looked like. And also, there's another feature you can seek out on there where we looked at, we check in on some of the startups that have entered publishing. You know, one of the neat things about that is that we've heard forever how much of a struggling industry publishing is. Well, if it's struggling, there sure are a ton of companies that are wanting to get involved. So, you know, I think you can put those two together and surmise that we're going to have a pretty active year on the merger front in 2015. Now, the pace of acquisition slowed somewhat in the second half of 2014, but it was still pretty active. And I think the improving economy and more clarity about what the industry is going to be facing going forward in this hybrid market that now includes print and digital, you know, I think a lot of executives are going to feel a little more confidence in moving forward with new purchases or new plans in the coming months. And I think some others are going to feel that this may be the time to cash out. So stay tuned. 2015, I think, is going to be an interesting year for the wheelings and dealings of the publishing industry.
Well, indeed, stay tuned. We invite our listeners to join us every week, and we look forward to talking with you about all of the news. Andrew Albany, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure. As always,
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. Happy New Year, Jeremy. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.